Welcome to Church of Glad Tidings Podcast. In this episode of Time to Roar, Pastor Dave sits with Lee Dundas. They talk about child trafficking and how to rehabilitate them back into society. Please enjoy.
Hello. Thank you for joining us today for this exciting interview with our dear friend Lee Dundas. We're going to be talking about some things that should very well impact us all and concern us all, because they are so deep and so dark and so widespread. We're going to be talking about child trafficking and the impact that it has on every one of us, whether we realize it or not. But it's great to have Lee Dundas with us. She's a dear friend. And Lee, I wanted to just ask you how you first got started. I know as a young lady, you headed off to Asia to work in the brothel. So tell us a little bit about that and a bit
sure.
about your book.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Pastor Dave. It's always an honor and a privilege to be here with people who get it and are awake and are doing good work. And you've been doing good work longer than I knew. I read some books over this weekend about your intersection with the horrific world of childhood sexual assault and satanic rituals and all the horrors that go along with that. For me, my entry, I had an interesting upbringing, but that defies the limits of an hour, so I'll leave that behind. But suffice to say that I had a good parent and a not so great parent, and grew up in a bit of a chaotic environment, and always really had a heart for those who I felt were being abused or taken advantage of or who didn't have a voice. I knew what it was like to sort of feel that impotent rage at an unjust situation and not feel like you could really get right side up on it. And that just would always stick in my craw, so to speak. And so when I was 14 years old, I got a chance to go to college, and that was exciting, and I said yes. So technically, you're talking to a high school dropout, in case you didn't know that.
Let me ask you something. How do you get a chance to go to college when you're 14?
It was a God thing.
Yeah.
So I had been in the LA public school system going along with all my friends, thinking I was just going to do the usual because that's what you did in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And in eighth grade, all of my girlfriends were going to go to a private Catholic all-girls high school called Cornelia Conley in the Anaheim area. And because, you know, peer pressure is a thing, and all my friends were going, I wanted to go too, even though we weren't Catholic. And my mom said, okay, and she took me down there, and I took the test, and it was the darndest thing, Dave, that I was taking the test, and one girl, I don't know, she was looking over her shoulder at somebody, but these nuns in full habit that I'd never seen the likes of prior to that, because we weren't Catholic, nun came along with a ruler and rapped her on the knuckles, and I'm like, that's abuse, like where I come from. I was like, what the?
Right.
You don't do that in public school. I mean, the 70s and 80s in California, but this was not Alabama, right? Like, you didn't do that. And I was just like, and I told my mom about that. And she said, I don't know, honey, if this is going to be a great fit. Not because I was a bad child.
No.
But I was outspoken about
right.
things that meant the world to me, whatever that might be. And so I ended up not going to Cornelia Conley. And as a result, in the beginning of ninth grade, my name was still in the hat of the school district that was LA County Unified School District. And they had three colleges in the country at that point, Cal State Los Angeles, Johns Hopkins, and Washington University or something, that had created programs for child geniuses. And they had the 9 to 14-year-old was their target demographic, and they would go based on your standardized school test results from the state.
Right.
And if you scored in excess of 99% on the statewide testing, you got invited to take a test with them that was a like an SAT equivalent at the age of third grade, fourth grade, whatever you were in. I happened to be in eighth grade, ninth grade. And if you scored well enough on that, you got invited to start college part or full time. So had I gone to the Catholic school, I never would have been in the fish pond that they were recruiting from. But because I was, which I think was a God thing, I was recruited to go to college. And in college, I met one of my most favorite professors ever by the name of Professor Urquidy. And he taught poli-sci classes. But one day he wandered into psychology territory, and he told us about the Stanley Milgram trials, about how if you're overly obedient, very bad things can happen. And that was a life-changing moment in my 15 years of experience. And I never knew when he taught me that and was writing on the whiteboard and so emphatically. And this was a time when there was a lot going on in poli-sci. We had the Berlin Wall coming down. He had plenty of other topics to cover, but God bless him for detouring into that. And I never forgot how obedient humans could be to their detriment.
Yeah.
I never forgot that that was the primary malfunction that led us into the Holocaust. Wow. And I never knew when Arcidi was talking about that in 1987 that I would be shouting it from the rooftops come 2020.
Wow.
So I went to college at 14, graduated at 17. They were not hiring dolphin trainers at SeaWorld, which is what I wanted to be. My mother said, you're good at arguing. You should go to law school. I said, okay, why not? I applied everywhere. I got into Yale. I got into Bolt Law School up here at Berkeley. But I had some family drama. So even though I got into all those great places, they were ranked one and two that year. Harvard was three. I ended up going to USC, graduating 3 years later. And my third year of law school, I worked at the DA's office. And I saw child sex trafficking cases and child sexual assault cases. And I watched a jury foreman come back who was an actual clown. That's what he did for a living. And not believe a 12-year-old girl who had been sexually assaulted by a Goodwill. Their family was homeless. They were living with a Goodwill shelter or something. And the shelter manager, organizer guy was the pedophile. And I looked at that and I thought, how could you not believe her? Like, wow. Nobody should have gotten that result.
Right.
And at the end of that internship, as I was getting ready to graduate, the head DA for the Whittier Rio Hondo Courthouse came to me and he goes, we want to offer you a job. You would be an amazing sex crimes prosecutor. You'd have to start, you know, doing other stuff, but we'd put you in the sex crimes unit. And I looked at him and I thought, the heck you say? I just got out of this world. There's no way you could induce me to come back into the crazy.
Oh, boy.
And I want to have something left to give my family when I have a family at the end of the night and not have spent it all at work.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I love you and thank you and you're amazing, but I have a job offer at a large firm. And off I went to the brass handcuffs, gold handcuffs, and it was the biggest mistake of my life. Mm-hmm. And then when my husband sold his chiropractic office in 2012, I was sweeping the lobby coffee table full of the Red Book and Family, you know, Circle magazines because I thought, oh, the new owners are going to want to put their own stuff here. And the Red Book opened to an article on three women who had been child sex trafficked. And one was named Carissa Phelps. She was trafficked here in the Central Valley. Mm-hmm. And I read her article because I think it was a God wink moment.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by it. And I thought, I wonder, and I went over to the computer that I was in the middle of packing up and I typed in her name to Google and her phone number came up and I'm like, it's not her phone number. And I called it and she answered on the second ring and she said, well, my dear, I'm at LAX right now. I'm going to fly out tomorrow, but if you come meet me at 7 a.m., let's have coffee before I leave and before you leave for Asia. And I said, okay.
Wow.
And I went off to Asia with the fires of child sex trafficking and a desire to help burning bright in my soul, courtesy of that conversation, and got bored when I was in Australia because I'd never not worked. And, you know, retiring and putting your feet up isn't all it's cracked up to be at all.
Yeah.
And I started cold calling sex trafficking organizations over there to no avail. They're like, you're a white soccer mom from Orange County, California. Bye.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks later, I got a call back from one that was based in Newport Beach, where I'd been working right before we moved over there to visit friends. And they said, we're coming to town in Vietnam, and we'd love to intersect you. We're meeting with the Prime Minister or something of Vietnam on May 12th, I think, of 2013. And sight unseen, they invited me to this meeting. And I looked at my husband. We were in New Zealand at the time. I covered the phone. I said, you mind if we blow this popsicle stand a bit early and head over to Da Nang? And he goes, sure, babe, but what's in Da Nang? And I go, I don't know, but if I build it, they will come. Yeah. I feel like if I go, I'll know why I went.
Right.
He said, let's get out of here.
That's awesome.
Came home with a job working as a general counsel for an anti-sex slavery nonprofit.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Long answer. Sorry about that.
No, I appreciate it. And I ask you how you got into college because I suspected it was because of brilliant intellect. But anyway.
Not on the math and science, just on the words.
Yeah. Well, thank you on behalf of everybody you've helped. And let me just say this to the people listening in. I connected first with Lee Dundas over the crime of the COVID con. And she was a loud, outspoken advocate for people who were having their rights taken away from them. And She's been, you've been here, I think this your maybe your fourth time.
Third or fourth, I think, yeah.
But anyway, we love her very, very much. And just recently, we reconnected. The COVID con, though it's still killing people rampantly throughout the world.
Yeah.
And of course, there's not much talk about that. But that being the case, the mainstream hubbub about the, you know, the vaccine, which is actually a messenger RNA, it's implanting destructive material into our body. But as that's kind of playing out and people dying of turbo cancer and, and you know, children dying of issues that no child should ever struggle with, and women being sterilized and all the ugly stuff of that. Nonetheless, people aren't doing conferences much these days and talking about it much. So anyway, I was talking to Lisa. You'd called me a while back, and you said something interesting. I said, well, now that the COVID con is kind of simmering down, where to from here with you? And you said, well, I wonder if any of the churches in California are still interested in trying to help girls that are being sex trafficked.
That's right.
And I said, well, Lee, I can't speak for the other pastors in California, but let me tell you what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And I began to share with Lee about a mission that we're on, about a vision that God put in our hearts. And it's kind of a long story, but let me just say this. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe there's such a thing as coincidence. But a coincidence is a small miracle in which God has chosen to remain anonymous. But I was talking to a military man not too long ago, and he had been involved in efforts by the Navy SEALs to thwart sex trafficking rings. And he was really complaining about the ugliness of it all and how pervasive it was worldwide, and how him and his team were disillusioned by how hard they worked to curb it. And then their efforts being shanghaied by politicians and by, you know, the bureaucracy. And as we were talking, I remembered that a young man that Cheryl and I had lived with us years ago, he was coming out of prison. He was very troubled, very angry young man. And as we were trying to unpack his issues, he just began to sob. And it was a broken, hurt sob, but it was an extremely angry sobbing. And he began to say that he was going to kill his father and his uncles for what they did to him. And as Christian pastors, we assumed that they had done something so unspeakable and horrific that they probably deserved to be killed. But for him, we said, you know, son, that is not going to help move you forward in life.
Right.
You've got to leave that on the plate of God, so to speak. Yeah. Let God sort that out.
Yeah.
And you need to unload your bitterness, not for their sake, for your own sake.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to be standing in line for your ulcer medication while they're still doing what they're doing.
That's right.
So we were trying to help him with that, and it was just too much for him. He said, I can't forgive them. Who would take their own son down to a barge in San Francisco and allow him to be sodomized over and over again? And I just thought, oh, wow. I mean, that ups the ante. And again, these things are so intense. But I could certainly identify with that boy thinking, somebody needs to die for this. You know, this is the worst kind of evil. Of course, we know, for those that are listening and are, you know, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And let me just say that Jesus Christ spoke about that. And he said it would be better for a millstone to be hung about your neck and you thrown into the deepest sea than to hurt one of these children.
Yeah.
So we know how God feels about that. Yeah. And it's interesting. I was just listening to Laura Logan, and she had interviewed a Luciferian pedophile. And she said, I just don't
I did not catch that. I need to catch that interview.
I'll send it to you. It was profound.
I have an 8-hour drive home. I'll listen to every word.
Yeah. It's just a short clip. I think you could find the longer interview. But she said, I don't get it. How could you do that to a child?
Right.
And he said, it's not about the children. He said, it's about our hatred for God. And he said, we live to inflict as much pain on the Creator as we can. And there is nothing in the universe that is a clearer reflection of God than a baby.
Yeah.
And so he said, the younger they are, the more perfect they are, the more they are a reflection of the nature of God. And so to hurt them over and over again and to kill them is the greatest pain we can inflict on God. And I hope the whole world hears that, because this perverted idea that, you know, it's just a different kind of sexual attraction. No, it's not. It's the worst kind of perverted wickedness.
Yeah.
And it's an affront to God. We need to do something about it. So going back to my story, while this military man was talking about what they did and how frustrating it could be to try to rescue kids and then have bureaucracy, government, important people somehow they would sabotage their plan to rescue people. And I just thought back. I know it was God. I have this saying, Lee, I know it's God when I think thoughts that are smarter than I am. And so suddenly, you know, we've been pastoring for 40 years. Suddenly I remembered that boy. And I remembered him talking about a barge in the waters near San Francisco. So I brought it up to him. We finished our talk. I really didn't think about it again. It was just a conversation like we're having. But the next day he called and he said, on behalf of 807 children, we want to thank you for that tip. He said, we rescued a whole bunch of kids from a barge. He said it was a black ops deal, and it was terrible. He said there were children that were being used sexually, but there were also children that were marked for organ
harvesting.
Harvesting is what it is, and not a doning. But anyway, he said, you'll never hear about this in the news, but the bad guys lost big, and we have a bunch of children. Do you have any idea what we can do with them? And so suddenly, the joy of them being rescued was lost into the shadows of, now what do we do?
Now what? Yeah.
And so I said, wow, that's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids.
So I said, if we, you know, we would have to put multiple kids in every family. It's not, our church can't handle that. And he said, well, he said, think about it. You know, a lot of people, we need to do something with these kids. Well, it broke my heart, but when I called back, not that I had a solution, I just wondered what's happening to this kid. He said, well, California Child Protective Services took him.
Moved in. Yeah.
And they moved in and claimed them. These are our kids. And he said, you know what that means. And I said, I'm afraid that I do in most cases. And he said, well, those kids, we didn't rescue them. We just gave them a short vacation from their hell. And he told me this, and it went way into my soul. He said, if you really want to help these kids, find places where they can go to recover.
Yeah.
And so that put us on a quest. The long and short of it is we found a private, it was a minimum security private women's prison that had been shut down just 5 miles north of us. I took Lee up there just recently. Thank you for going up
there. Oh, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. And so we've signed a contract to take ownership of that. The bubble that lies between us and having those keys in our hands is $4 million.
And a little bubble.
A little bubble.
A little bubble.
And so I was talking to Lee about that. Remember, she asked, do you think anybody in California cares about the children? And so I said, hey, you got to come up here and see what's going on. And she wants to help us, and there's nobody I'd rather have help us. That's what we're doing. We have, again, 6 months to purchase it, and then we'll have probably a bigger bubble than $4 million. It'll probably take $6 million, maybe more, to take a women's prison. And our motto here is from prison to paradise. And so we're asking people to join with us, and I want to ask you to join with us. We're going to completely renovate what formerly was the Leo Chesney Center. Mm. We're going to turn it into Peace of Heaven Children's Paradise. And we have some of the brightest and the best. We have Roger Pope helping us. He was one of the designers on Disney's Epcot Center. Mm. And we have a wonderful friend that is from Japan, and he specializes in teaching children art and science and theology through the creation of God, through gardens, and helping them understand through beauty the virtues of God. And so his name's Graham Fleming. He's helping us. And I know that God's going to bring in others. And so when you called and asked about that, I thought, oh, praise God, Lee's going to be on the team. But anyway, talk to us a little bit about your background, your knowledge. How big of a problem is sex trafficking?
Well, it's a huge problem, and it's sort of inextricably intertwined with so many of the other problems of our day. But to set the stage on just human trafficking and sex trafficking, worldwide human trafficking, which includes sex trafficking, where girls are being exploited for profit by the pimps or the traffickers, sold to pedophiles, and human trafficking, where maybe you just grab a young 13-year-old strong kid off the street and make him work on your shrimping boat 18 hours a day until he dies of hard work and not enough of the other good things in life. Both of those types of labor trafficking and sex trafficking combined, human trafficking worldwide is $150 billion a year industry.
Wow.
And tax-free. It's not like these traffickers are going, oh, let me give 35 or 40% of my take this year to the state and the federal government. No. So that's just going straight into their pocket. And the number of people enslaved worldwide is 40 million people. And that's old. It may be a higher statistic now. I haven't checked it recently. And again, to give a frame of reference for that, we live in California, of course. And our population right now is about 40 million. Actually, I think it's dropping courtesy of Gruesome News forcing a mass exodus. A couple of years ago, we were just under 40 million. So it would literally be like everybody waking up tomorrow enslaved on a shrimping boat or in a mine in Africa or harvesting cacao or cocoa or you know, whatever, working in a Nike factory somewhere with no breaks and no days off and sweatshop conditions, or being raped 10 times a night with your arms chained to a bedpost. So everybody in California tomorrow enslaved, and that is the world's population of current human trafficking victims. Mm. So we've got to do something. It is the fastest growing crime in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the second largest crime in the world. And it's going to soon be the first largest crime in the world, because there's just a lot more profit to be had in trafficking people than there is in trafficking cocaine. Like I explained to your congregation the other night, if I sell the guy over there cocaine and he likes it tomorrow, he comes back to me, I need to have portioned off a piece of what he gave me last night and gone and paid that to my supplier to get more blow in my possession so I can sell him more blow or coke tomorrow. And basically, your gross is not your net. You know, you gross $100 or $1,000, you're taking 30 or 40% of that and pushing it back into resupplying your product so you can sell more. But when you sell a person to a pedophile, little girl to a pedophile, and the guy likes it, and he comes back to that barge the next night or that house or that Super 8 motel room, you don't need to have bought another girl in the intervening 24 hours. Right. You just rent her over and over until she dies, which according to the FBI, and this was a 10-year ago stat, is about 7 years on average from the time in America the kid is first turned out for sexual purposes, which for girls is about age 12. For boys, it's actually sometimes a little younger, age 11. So if you do some simple math, add 7 to 12 or 11, you realize these kids are dead or dying by the time they can vote.
Right.
By death by AIDS, death by John, violent John strangling him during the act, gets too frisky and the girl dies. Or death by pimp, you know, he doesn't like her performance, she didn't perform well for him, he beats her and he beats her so hard she dies.
Yeah.
And that is just no way for any person, let alone a child, to be living on this supposedly enlightened planet. So we got to do better. We must do better. But the situation you highlighted with the barge rescue with your former special ops guy is what we encountered all the time in Asia. And it's what you encounter worldwide. Everybody gets fired up about the rescue. Everybody has the same response. These people are awful. You know, you stand in line. There's plenty of people wanting vigilante justice. None of us enlightened folk do it, but the desire is there to right the wrong, be it physically or, you know, with the legal system. But everybody's first concern is, you know, rescuing the person who's being victimized by this. But that's just the beginning of the saga. And if you don't have a solid, trustworthy place in which to house the population that you've rescued, you've got an enormous problem on your hands, because if you're not careful, you're just a turnstile and that kid gets re-trafficked. And what we see going on with the COVID con worldwide, while seemingly two different worlds, are actually very, very incestuously, if I may use that double entendre, connected, because so many of these politicians are sitting idle, are sitting impotent, are sitting there doing nothing. And we're all going, why? You seem like such a good guy when you handed me your card at a rally and I voted for you and you're conservative and you made us all these promises and now you get in, you're doing nothing. And what you've got to realize is the deep state is deep.
Yes.
And they have their spies and their knowledge everywhere. And these guys get elected and they think, oh, they're going to do great things. And some Luciferian type comes up to him and goes, well, we know you want to do good stuff, but you're actually going to do our bidding. Because if you don't, we're going to take this XYZ piece of blackmail and show it to your wife, show it to your kids in junior high, make your family a pariah, and you know, get you arrested for some crime in your past, whatever. And so unless you are electing squeaky clean politicians, which is a hard road to hoe in any town in this world. I mean, we're living on planet Earth. Sin is around.
Yeah.
Even the people who aren't evil have usually made mistakes that they're embarrassed about and don't want the world to know about.
Yeah.
They're capable of being blackmailed, but the real blackmailing fodder is having sex with a kid. Because if I go up to you, Pastor Dave, and I go, well, you thought you were going to do good, but you're now on your local board, and I'm going to let your flock know that, you know, maybe in your early days of your marriage, you cheated. Or you cheated on your taxes, or you cheated on your wife, or you got too many parking tickets. The average American's mores have gone down so far since the 1950s that just doesn't make people raise an eyebrow anymore. Right. You tell them you're going to let loose their crime of cheating on their taxes, a lot of people go, so did I. You know, only thing that gets people's attention is when I go up to you or somebody else goes up to you and goes, we have a Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah.
Here you are having sex with a 7-year-old, raping a child.
Yeah.
That is wicked ammunition.
Right.
And that is enough to make any well-meaning politician go, yeah, I can't afford for that to get out to the masses.
Yeah.
I'll be your boy.
Right.
And now you've got a politician who is not doing God and country's work because he's being blackmailed by a Hunter Biden laptop. And maybe he's reformed his ways. Maybe that was a one-time error. Maybe he's given his life to Christ. But until you clean up human trafficking and sex trafficking and child rape and regular rape, you have a cachet of crimes that you can use to control the politicians in office. Right. So you want to clean up America. You want to clean up politics worldwide. You got to clean up sexual assault, sex trafficking, and crimes like that, because that is the primary way that these politicians are controlled.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is you rescue the kids, you put the bad guys away, but you got to have a place for the kids to go once you rescue them. And that is what you're doing here. And it's an honor to help you brainstorm and be a part of launching that process, because it is very much needed.
Yeah, it's very needed. You had mentioned the age that a lot of children get involved in being trafficked.
Right.
But I think that's for sexual deviants, pedophiles, but Luciferians.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no bottom age.
There's no bottom age.
No, babies are.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, back to Laura Logan and the fact that they are trying to defile God's creation.
Yeah.
And so they start with the innocents. They start with newborns. It's unbelievable.
It is. I mean, yeah, my dad's older sister was a psychologist, and this is back in the 80s. And, she would come to family gatherings, and she'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. But her specialty was child sexual assault. She got called out to hospitals for two-month-olds who were being sexually assaulted.
And unbelievable.
It happens. Most good people have a natural inclination to pull back and look away because it's just so horrifying.
Right, right.
But we have to get past that initial response because it doesn't serve the world or God or the people being victimized for us to turn a blind eye to it and recoil from it. You need to be like the Navy SEAL and goes, oh, there's a landmine, let me move forward, not move away.
Right. Well, Lee, that tendency to recoil, to look the other way, to not acknowledge it, I think that the forces of evil have played on that because it's easy for them to do something that is so atrocious that most people's knee-jerk reaction is, I simply can't believe that.
Right.
And then we have the situation that you've talked about, which is widespread blackmail and intentional entrapment for the purpose of blackmail.
Oh, yeah.
And now you have a situation where the World Center for Adrenochrome Harvesting is busted and nobody goes to prison.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Well,
I mean, the only reasonable explanation for that is that there is such widespread blackmail that nobody can seem to do the right thing because they think however bad this is, it would be worse if my wife and friends knew what I'd been doing.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I know you know.
The cops and the judges don't arrest and prosecute themselves. So when you see Epstein, and it's funny, I'll tell you a real side note real quick. I think it was late 90s or early 2000s, we had just moved into our new house. And there's a freeway here in Southern California. We live up in the hills over here. On the other side of the freeway is a not as nice area. It's just the demographics. And Megan's Law was new, and I think it was Megan's Law, where you could put addresses in and you could see on a grid, it would pop up. There'd be little red dots. And, you know, the orange dot was a date rapist, so it was a statutory rape guy.
Right.
He's probably not a real threat. It was a 19-year-old who turned, 18 or 19 dating the 17-year-old daughter.
Right.
And parents were upset. They reported it to the cops. Okay, he's a rapist technically, but he's not really a threat to the five-year-olds on the block or the little ladies.
Right.
And so he'd get like a yellow or an orange dot. And then you had your regular rapist who liked the average rape victim.
Yeah.
And then you had your serial rapist murderer types, and they were given like a burgundy dot kind of like, your traffic lines on your phone. So we type in our address, my husband and I do, and you get all these dots over on the other side of the freeway on the not so nice area. And then you get a sprinkling, a little smack of dots just on this side of the freeway. But as you move up into the hilly area where our new house is at the time, there's no dots at all. And my husband, who was very naive at the time, goes, well, that's a relief. And I laughed. And he goes, well, what? There's no dots. Like, we're safe. And I looked at him and I go, oh, babe, you think because there's no dots, there's no problem?
Yeah.
I go, let me explain how this works. Mm. People living in our neighborhood are the cops and the lawyers and the prosecutors and the judges.
Right.
And baby, they don't arrest themselves.
Right.
And they don't prosecute themselves. Same thing
exactly.
I just said.
Exactly.
And you could just see this dawning look of horror on his face.
Yeah.
But that is the problem. I have a case right now referred to me by a pastor in another state some months ago. Little girl being raped. Daddy's a dirty cop.
Yeah.
And mom went to the cops and shocker. They were going to take the case, and then they didn't. And she went to a different law enforcement agency, and they were going to take the case, but then they didn't.
Yeah.
And then she went to the very top law enforcement officer in the state, and they were going to take the case, and then they didn't. And then everybody who touched the case got fired.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Imagine that. There's got to be a network there. I mean, either there's really a black cloud hanging over that family, which I don't believe. I don't believe there's good coincidences. I don't believe there's bad coincidences.
Yeah, right.
You got a good coincidence, you got God in the middle. You got a bad coincidence, Satan's at work. And you got some pedophile network of protectors going on, scratching each other's backs. But that is the way the world works. And we got to get right side up on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that you know Dr. David Martin.
I do.
And I met him about the same time I met you, and it was over the same issue as the COVID con. And we were inviting people who had something to say and we had some great conferences here, but you were
you
part
have.
Of. But during that time, I met David Martin, and there was just a real connection, a friendship connection. And so he came back out here after his second visit to the church. He came out here not to speak at the church, but just to spend time with Cheryl and I and get to know us. So David and Kim and Cheryl and I just went to the coast for 3 days and had a wonderful time. And he was saying, because God has partnered us together, you need to know who I am. And I was anxious to know. But he gave me his book. I don't know if you've read it, but Lee, you would love it. It's called Coup Day 12. And it's and he says, for you to understand who I am, you need to understand what is happening in the world today way beneath the level that most people are aware of. And he said, this is a book, everything in it is true, but I've changed the names for some obvious reasons, but I want you to know what goes on in politics. Mm-hmm. And I read that book, and of course it was reflective over the last 20 years. He was talking about things that had happened. And I'm going to say something here that is going to shock some people, but I need to say it anyway. I remember when there was an operation called the Moral Majority, which sounded very good and very solid and very safe. And because it did, it took in millions and millions of dollars. And it was, we are the Moral Majority, and, we're a notch above all these groveling sinners, and we need to take our country back. But here's the thing. In his book, though, again, he changed the names and whatnot. In his book, he talked about the leader of a very conservative Christian patriot group that had a university. And he talked about the fact that that man was involved in pedophilia and entrapped politicians and bribed them for huge amounts of money for the rest of their life. But he was operating as the head of the Moral Majority. And he, in the book, he unpacked something that answered a question for me, because I remember way back when a man named Jerry Falwell, he was the head of the Moral Majority, and he ran for president. For about 4 weeks, he announced he was running. And then suddenly, a few weeks later, he said, after talking to my wife and children, I don't think it's a good idea. Now, what man runs for president without talking to his wife and children first, right? It's ridiculous.
There might have been another conversation in there that occurred.
Well, I know there was, because David said, yeah. David Martin is an extremely brilliant man, and has a military past with the CIA. Mm. And so he said, I just hacked his satellite, and I told him, if you ever get on a stage and talk about your morality again, I'll show the entire world what you've been doing. And immediately, he resigned, and you never heard anything more of Jerry Falwell.
Yeah, he really didn't.
Isn't that something?
I didn't know that was the backstory on it.
I didn't either. But when I read it in his book, he had changed the name. I just called him. I said, David, You hacked Jerry Falwell's satellite? He said, I absolutely did.
Oh, my God.
He said it's one thing to be morally debauched and evil and be blackmailing people. It's another thing to do it in the name of God.
Yeah.
And he said, I did. I hacked it, and I was serious about it. If he hadn't have resigned and pulled out of all that, I would have showed the whole world what he'd been doing. Now, the reason I bring that up, and that may break some people's hearts because you thought I was trying to do a good thing. To you, I want to say this. Nothing ever done for the Lord is in vain. And you don't know what you don't know. So right. If you had given toward that, hoping that it would bring a turnaround in America, God bless you for that. You meant well, and God judges the heart. However, the reason I brought it up is because this wicked perversion is so deep and so wide that we need to recognize it's a vital part of some religious systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really ugly. And
there's very few religions that aren't touched in some way by it. And that's not to say you throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's not to say the religion is necessarily bad or everybody in it is bad. In the same way that I don't demonize the Islamic faith just because there's radical jihadis.
Right,
I mean, there's also radical Christian and radical Catholic people who've gone off the edge and the deep and done bad things. It doesn't make the religion bad because there's a bad actor in it. But with that said, many of the folks that we see that are out fronting and being holier than thou and, is wonderful. When you actually know the backstory, I didn't know that one, but I've known others that are similar. It's frightening because these people that are holding themselves out to be for God and country that is good and true and right and collecting in many cases 501c3 tax deductible donations for it. Are actually not who we would want them to be, and they are, in fact, the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And it can be heartbreaking to find that out, but, you don't stop doing good or trying to do good just because some bad actors are out there, but it is an urgent call to the fact that we need truth-telling microphones and truth-telling organizations and a transparency so that when, and that's one of the, I'm going to start a podcast like you, not because I need another project, like I need a hole in the head right now. But what I will say is it dawned on me as I was writing this book that I am the person I am because I stumbled in through God or luck or whatever you want to call it to good information and good people when they are armed with correct information make better decisions.
Right.
People who know more and know well do better in life.
Right.
And they do better for themselves and their children and their families, and it ripples out from there, their communities.
Right.
So there is a massive gap in education, not just on sex trafficking and the fact that good people are sometimes bad people and the fact that religious people can sometimes be pedophiles and the fact that people who are victims are not necessarily who you'd think.
Yeah.
You could have a victim who's wearing a black robe in front of you. You could have a victim who's a Lee Dundas. You could have a victim who's a pastor and they have just overcome.
Right.
But things are not what they seem, but the more data you get out to the masses and the more they can sift through it, the more they can make a correct and an informed choice, which is all anybody ever wanted. That's what our forefathers wanted. They weren't telling you this is the right path. They were telling you we're going to set up a system that gets you the information so that hopefully you can make a right choice.
Right.
And what you see with the censorship, which is just the spawn of the devil right now, because
yes, it
inhibits the ability of decision making.
Right.
Because it inhibits us from knowing the truth.
Right.
Really needs to be countered with microphones and platforms like this. But that's one of the reasons Clay Clark finally got to me, and he's like, you need a podcast, not just to monetize yourself to stay in the fight, but because people need data.
Yeah.
And if you have a way of synthesizing it and explaining it to people where they can get it, that is, we're in an information war. That's the equivalent of a good bullet in a gun. That is gold.
Yeah.
You know, to get people information they can act on. So
you
are doing God's work. But yeah, that the masses need to know that all is not as it has seemed.
Yes, exactly.
On so many fronts, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Project Climax that the CIA was running, you know, Operation, the CIA bioweapons they've been coming out with, like all of it. And it's overwhelming, and it's okay to take a break and it's okay to throw the covers over your head for a day and cry yourself silly.
Yeah.
But after you do that, move from the grief into the anger, the righteous anger of how could this have been done to our kids and our good citizens, and do something with that. There's a lot of power in being upset over a wrong and deciding you're going to take action to right.
Yes. I have a good friend who would say, just stand up. This is Lee Dundas, great book, and I want to encourage you to get it. And I want to encourage you to pray for people like Lee Dundas. Lee Dundas is a freedom fighter par excellence, and I'm so proud to be your friend, Lee. But get her book. I also want to encourage you to get Dr. David Martin's book. Remember, it's called Coup de 12, and he named it that because many, many years ago, this again is going to chap some people's thighs, but it's true. Many, many years ago, he was approached by globalists, and they said, we have bought both political parties. We own the Democratic Party. We own the Republican Party. We put forward who we want. And we want a front person to represent us to help move this along into what we know of as the New World Order. Mm. And the whole idea was to co-opt America, to lead the way in what we understand as the 2030 agenda of the United Nations to have a one world government. You need to read that book. And if any of the things we're saying today are shocking to you, that would be an indication that you've been misinformed about a lot of things for a long while. So you can't make good decisions without good information. You are not getting good information from the mainstream media. You're not getting good information from any of the trustworthy governmental channels. You know, if we've discovered anything in the last decade, it's that you can't trust the bureaucracy anywhere, not in education, not in medicine, not in politics, not in religion. And again, I'm speaking to you, my wife and I have pastored for 40 years, but remember, religion was never God's idea. Religion is the vehicle that crucified the Christ. It was the religious leaders of his day. Yeah. So we don't advocate religion. We advocate a real personal relationship with God through faith. But the structures, they're all perverted. Well, if you're a biblical Christian, or if you're not, for that matter, the simple truth is all the systems of the world are under the power of the wicked one. Yeah. And bureaucracy is always ugly. And it's always twisted, and it's always self-serving. And so God is raising up freedom fighters to say, hey, many years ago, it seemed like in another galaxy, but it was here in these United States, our forefathers, under the inspiration of God, they put together a government that said, we answer to God. He's our judge, our lawgiver, our king, and we will delegate authority in certain areas for public servants that they can serve the well-being of the community. Now think about that for a minute. When's the last time you ever thought of a state official, a county official, a federal official as being your servant? Because I can't remember it in my lifetime. And now we're to a point, you know, the police motto is to serve and to protect, and we're not getting much of either one of those. Mm-mm. So anyway, we have to, I think we have to wake up. We have to understand that we can't remain asleep. Our forefathers said this experiment on this wonderful God-ordained government, it will only work if the people are eternally vigilant. We can't rest. Yeah. We can't sleep.
That is the price you pay for living in the land of the allegedly free.
Right.
You want to stay free, you be vigilant.
Exactly.
And you step up when you're called.
Right. And we've really not had anything taken from us. We've forfeited a great deal.
True.
And we've forfeited it through apathy. Mm-hmm. Through selfishness, like, oh, don't bother me. You know, I'm living the American dream.
Right.
But we have been irresponsible, and we're suffering the consequences.
Yeah.
I want to say this regarding this huge issue that we're talking about of human trafficking. I'm fascinated as a biblical Christian and a lover of Scripture. I'm fascinated by the predictions over 2,000 years ago about the end of the age, because we're living in it. And let me just say this. I don't think the world is going to end. We have that on the authority of Scripture, but it will be seriously revamped. Mm-hmm. And so we're living in what my wife and I call the transition of the ages. There was a huge transition at the coming of the Christ, went from the Old Testament system, the Levitical system, and all the bells and smells and incense and nonsense. It went into what we call the church age.
Yeah.
And Christ said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail. But all of Scripture foresaw another transition, which sadly the church didn't get. It was the hippies that got this. And so they were saying, we're living in the age of Aquarius. The heavenly water bearer, right? And the planets will be at peace, and love will rule. And they were looking forward to what the Bible called the millennial age, or the age of the millennial kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told his disciples, pray that the kingdom of God will be established in the earth, so the will of God will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. Well, we're a ways off from the will of God being done in the earth.
Just a tad.
And part of it is that that true Christianity was co-opted by religion, and happened in the days of Constantine and the Holy Roman Empire, which was, that's where government bureaucracy took over the church, and we've never recovered from that. But authentic Christianity is different, and it's about welcoming the rule of God in the details of our life. Jesus said God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, joy, the power of his Spirit. Those are the kind of things that make paradise on earth.
Right.
And so as we look at the prophecies that foresaw the coming of that age, which is very exciting to us, that's very exciting to us. But it talks about an evil government system that's rampant just before that transition, and it's called Mystery Babylon, and the Book of Revelations talks about it, also the Book of Daniel, but it talks about this evil system that is trying to control the earth. If you don't think we're there, you obviously haven't been listening to the World Economic Forum.
Or the WHO. Or Gruesome Newsom. Or Biden.
It goes on and on and on. We are living where the whole earth is groaning as this evil Babylonian system is trying to extinguish the influence of God in the earth and take over. And they don't care about anything except that. They don't care about offing millions of people. As most of you know, the Georgia Guidestones, the Ten Commandments of the New World Order, started with maintaining the world population at 500 million.
We're a little over that still, even with the COVID con.
They're still trying to off 7 billion people.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we do believe it because it was clearly stated in Scripture. It was engraved in granite in Georgia. We're in the throes of this battle. But I want to say this because I think it's very encouraging. When the Bible is talking about this evil system, there is a figure, whether it's exclusively representative or whether there's ever a human figure that really represents all that. It doesn't matter to me. But she's called the whore of the Babylon system, the whore of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that figure, and let's say it's just representative, She's a seductress. She's pushing pharmakia, according to the scripture. Pharmakia, big pharma, drugs, witchcraft, it's all related together. But she's the embodiment of gross evil and the evil that destroys the souls of men. And it's talking about her influence in the earth. And it says the kings of the earth despised her, but loved her at the same time because they were made rich by her trade in the earth. And then it goes on to say the things that she was trading in. And there's a number of things, gold and silver and all these kind of things. And guess what it builds up to? She trafficked in human souls. Now, the reason I bring that up is because it was predicted long ago. It is happening. We're not waiting for it to happen. It is happening right now. The kings of the earth are being made rich by the money that's coming in, by pharmakia and all kinds of things, but human souls. And this big, ugly picture is punctuated by this. It says, but she shall be destroyed in a day. Give me five.
Oh, yeah.
She shall be destroyed in a day, and the kings of the earth will mourn her destruction because they were made rich by the profits off her trafficking. Yeah. And I just in my heart just believe that. I believe we're going to be a part of it. I'm excited about it. So I want to maybe end with this. We told you earlier about the situation that happened with the military man and our quest for a way to help. And then we found the Leo Chesney Center. We put in a bid. We signed a contract for $4 million.
Another high five.
Come on.
Sorry. You got to do that.
And, of course, we need your help for that. We're a local church. We don't have $4 million, but we know it's out there, and we know there are a lot of good people that want to help in this. So something that was just amazing happened, and Dr. David Martin, again, introduced us to a friend of his, and that man really was the point person for what was filmed and promoted with the Sound of Freedom movie. He's a freedom fighter. He's been coordinating child rescue efforts for a long time, and he has quite a network. It's the network behind which everything in the West, it operates behind the scenes, making ministries and 501c3s like Operation Underground Railroad. Operation Underground Railroad is the face for a huge network of people who are actually doing the work.
Right.
And so,
which is very common, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the groups that you see doing good work, there's a lot of interrelationship there. A lot of the operators, you're getting intel, you're passing it to whichever outfit or guys or boots are on the ground. There's a whole lot of cooperation worldwide among the players who are moving and shaking in this business. And, you know, it's not discrete silo type activities. So there's a lot of that going on. And when the average person sees that an organization did a rescue, they need to understand that is typically the result of an agreement amongst the organizations who were involved to let that one go claim credit for it, even though it was a group effort. And people take turns, groups take turns. Sometimes there's an agreement like, okay, you're going to run the guys, you're going to get credit, you're better at fundraising, we're going to run the rescue home, we're going to let you go do the fundraising because you're talented at that. If you help, scratch our back on the rescue home. So there's a a lot of, I don't want to say interagency because these are not actual agencies and bureaucratic agencies, but there's a lot of cooperation and movement behind the scenes, which is good. It's what you need because darn right, the bad guys are playing ball together.
Yeah.
We have, for the first time ever, side note here, and I'll let you grab the microphone again, but for the first time ever, you have the Crips and the Bloods working together in East LA. Okay, you never saw that during the cocaine 80s. Yep. You never saw that with illegal arms. There is so much money to be had in selling seven-year-old girls and women for sex to pedophiles and aberrated individuals that they have decided cooperation makes them more profit, if you will, than competition.
Wow.
So the bad guys worldwide are moving lockstep together. So darn right, we need to start cooperating as well to get stuff done. Anyway, I just wanted to, from somebody who's been in the business for 10 years, explain that because the average guy who's going, oh, I want to donate to a good organization. And they're like, well, is my dollar going to do good work? And generally speaking, yes, it is because a lot of these guys are working cooperatively.
Right.
Regardless of who you gave your dollar to.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you for bringing that up. Speaking of cooperating together and helping one another, we've been tremendously blessed and aided and encouraged by Dr. David Martin. But he recently, he knew about our hope to purchase the Leo Chesney Center and to build the Peace of Heaven Children's Paradise. He knew that that was in our hearts.
Yeah.
We hadn't signed the contract yet, but he invited Cheryl and I to Boulder, Colorado, and we knew that we would be doing his 12 Senses seminar, which is great, by the way, if you ever get a chance to do that.
I've heard that.
It's wonderful.
I've yet to do it, but
yeah.
Gotta do that.
But what we didn't know is part of his agenda was to introduce us to a man that's been really the point of the spear to bring all these efforts together. And it was his team that actually rescued those children that were featured on Tim Ballard's
film. Yeah.
So we met him. And he asked about the Leo Chesney Center. And I'm excited about this, but he said, we are working on a worldwide network to break the back of child trafficking. Yeah. And he said, we have money, we have power, we have mercenaries, we have a network, and we're interested in helping you. Well, that was music to our ears. And
as
so,
it should be.
Yeah. So we said, well, thank you. This is a project that's much bigger than our little church.
Yeah.
And so he asked us to be a part of this new worldwide network, the board of it. And it's called Project Safe Harbor. And you'll be hearing more and more about it. But it's the most aggressive and the most comprehensive network ever to rescue kids. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about it is they said, we are done giving hall passes to guys like Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay.
And we don't really care what the government has to say about it. These people are raping children to death, and we're going to rescue those children, whatever the cost, and whoever stands in the way. And so he said, we need places for them to go.
Yep.
I said, what about this facility? Could you fill it up? You know what he said, Lee? You'll understand.
In a New York second is probably what he said.
He said, we could fill up hundreds of facilities like that. What we need is people to come together and say, these are our children because they're God's children.
Correct.
And we're the family of God, and we care. And we are going to invest more love into them than the kingdom of darkness has invested evil and torture and mayhem into
them.
Because love can fix anything.
It sure can.
Yeah. And so anyway, you'll be hearing more about that. Again, it'll be called Peace of Heaven, Children's Paradise. And our first move is to buy a prison and turn it into a paradise. And then we're going to do the same thing in the lives of kids.
So, Pastor Dave, how can they donate to you?
Well, you can donate to the Church of Glad Tidings and write Peace of Heaven there.
Awesome.
And We're kicking in the clutch and hitting high gear because we got six months to raise
get
this
her done.
Money. Yeah, to get her done.
Can I say something on that note?
Yes, please.
So, and I think most of your listeners are probably already at this level of realization, but for the odd duck who might not be there yet, we're at war.
Yes.
On all fronts. There are fires on all sides.
Right.
And this is not like any war we've ever experienced before. It is worldwide wars in the past because of a lack of technology were geographically constrained. You had Hitler operating in Europe. You had Stalin where he was. Excuse me. You had Pol Pot in Cambodia. You had in Southeast Asia. They were geographically constrained. That is no longer the case because of the advent of technology. Mm-hmm. You have big pharma working with big tech, working with big government, working with big media worldwide, lockstep. And they are coming for your children in all shapes, sizes, fashions, forms, and means and ways. Whether it's sex trafficking, whether it's a guy that you think is a nice guy, but he's actually a 21-year-old who registered as a junior in your high school to date your daughter, and that's called Romeo pimping. Get her pimped out, get her to love him. Then he sextorts her, says, oh, baby, I have naked photos of you, you know, from the other night, and if you don't get with these guys that I'm going to sell you to tonight after your parents go to bed and you climb out your window, you know, I'm gonna throw these naked pictures all over your church and your school, and suddenly you're a D1 recruited volleyball, you know, high school senior girl who's straight A's in her AP classes is being trafficked under your nose, and you don't know, you're none the wiser. It is everywhere. They are coming for your children with CRT, critical race theory. They're confusing them as to their gender. They're telling them they need to cut off their genitals. They can be one of 57 species. They can use a litter box in the corner. They are saying, oh, the Constitution is a thing that is ancient history. You know, you need to stand with us. We're the new communists. I mean, Democrats of America. They are coming for your children. And if you don't stand up, it's not you that's going to die. It's your child.
Right. Right.
That is going to die. Mm. We are at war.
Right.
And the government is the one who has always funded our warriors in the past. But right now, they are enemy number one.
Right, right.
So we, the people, need to fund this war. We are facing a second Holocaust right now, in my humble opinion, because we did not learn the lesson correctly the first time.
Come on.
Okay, it was great that Churchill and FDR finally got bombed into stepping up and fighting down Hitler. But let's face it, they were bombed into doing it. Right. FDR was chilling out over here until Pearl Harbor happened.
Right.
And Churchill was the same until London and, you know, things started crashing to the ground with the bombs. So they stepped up when they had to. And everybody said, oh, thank God, these white knights and, you know, shining armor rode to our rescue. But that is not the way I think God and the world ideally should have ended that conflict.
Yes.
What should have ended that conflict is that good Germans at the starting gate should have said, who are you, Hitler? You sound like a paranoid schizophrenic who's high on meth. Because he was.
Right.
Because he was. Right. His doctors were giving him straight up meth. That's why he was having all these crazy delusions of grandeur, among other things, and said, no, you're paranoid. You're schizophrenic. You're whatever. But we're not listening to you. We're not baking our neighbor in the oven because you're a Jew and I'm a Christian. Or you're a Seventh-day Adventist, or you're disabled, or you're Romani gypsy like my ancestors were. We're not baking anybody in an oven. We're not even going to bake you in an oven because that is just not right.
Right. Come on.
That is what needed to happen. And that is what didn't happen. And so we are experiencing, I believe, this similar evolution. This is a second Holocaust.
Yes.
And if, you know, 40% increases after the rollout of the vaccine and the 18 to 54-year-old crowd didn't convince you of that, well, you need to go read Ed Dowd's book. But I'll leave that for another day because I know we're on a clock here. We are at war. The government is not the one who is going to help us win this war.
Right.
We, the people,
right,
are going to learn the lesson that the good Germans missed the first time, which is, no, we're not doing the crazy. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to step up. You are the hero you have been waiting for.
Come on, Lee.
I was sitting back just like a lot of the other people going, all right, Bobby Kennedy and Del Bigtree, let's get her done.
Yeah.
Go ahead, boys.
Yeah.
And they weren't. And you know why they weren't? It was too big for any one man.
It was too big, yes.
And I'm like, who am I? I'm just a little lawyer. I've never run a convoy before. I've never done any of these things, but I stepped out of my comfort zone and I stepped up. I stepped up in part because I had a family who told me that's what you do. I thought they were high and smoking crack at age 7 when I was selling Girl Scout cookies. And they're like, you need to fight for this country. And I'm like, I'm a girl. When am I going to be fighting for this country? Well, the day is here, my friends. And this long ramp up that I've given you, because I am a loquacious lawyer, sorry about that, is to say this. We are at war and you don't win wars without a war chest.
Come on.
Your role is to either be the warrior on the field or to fund him. That's it. You don't have to fund it with money, but you need to fund it with something. Your time, your talent, opening your house, doing logos and graphics, being the guy in the corner doing this podcast, being the barber that we're going to interview next who said, no, I'm going to do my part, and I don't know how to fight in a church because I'm an ex-gang guy, but I'm going to go say no to Governor Newsom because I learned to be a barber, and this isn't constitutional to shut businesses down when the pimps and the strip clubs and the pot shops are open and they're considered essential, but churches, and I'm not, no, thank you. I'm going to have no part of that. I'm going to stand my ground. You are either going to be the tip of the spear or fund it.
Come on.
And the time is yesterday.
Come on.
Certainly no later than right now. So I don't know where your website is, but you need to fund this man. He is doing God's work. And if you haven't been to Yuba to meet him, you should get here soon because it is a blessing and an honor. And you just got to step up because the failure of us to step up will be our children's undoing.
Come on.
But the success of us stepping up is that we are going to right this world right.
Come on.
We are going to save this world. And the beauty of it is we're not waiting for the heroes. We are the heroes.
Come on. Lee, take my hand just as a symbol of joining our efforts together. We need to do this from coast to coast and border to border. We need to join hands. We need to join hearts. And we need to join in the fight because it is time to roar. I want to just pray. I want to pray for God's grace. I want to pray for God's grace for us, but for you too. Everybody needs to be at the top of their game for this fight we're in.
Yeah.
And so just as we close, remember Lee Dundas. Support her. She's worthy of supporting. She's been fighting as a freedom fighter. But Lee, you're also a preacher of righteousness. You've got a lot you've got a lot of preaching in you. So
may I say where they can find me real quick?
Yes, please.
I'm going to be doing a new podcast. It's not launched yet. Y'all can help me if you want. I'm going to be learning the ropes. I'll be calling your guys for help.
Yeah.
If you want to sign up for that podcast, you can go to leedundas.com. My book is on there as well. My mommy gave me extra letters in my name, so that is all the extra letters, LEIGHDUNDAS.com. And if you're interested in the freedom fighting work that we've been up to, that's freedomfighternation.org, where
Beautiful.
We take donations. Because this is what we are. We're a nation of freedom fighters.
Come on, girl. Yeah. And you can find us at churchgladtidings.com. Look for, remember, Peace of Heaven, Children's Paradise.
Peace of Heaven.
Wherever you are, get in the fight. That's what it takes. We have a saying here, none of us is as good as all of us. So let's
Darn
all
right.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for Lee Dundas. Thank you, Lord, for connecting us years ago, and thank you for her friendship. I do pray for your blessing on her and all that she does. Mm. And I pray for those that are listening, Lord, that you would breathe on us, Lord Jesus, and that no one would be passive and no one would stay in the shadows.
Right.
Lord, this is our fight to fight.
Come on.
I just pray, Lord, that you would raise up lots of local heroes that would get involved,
Father,
and would stand strong for righteousness. And we remember today, Lord, that you've commanded us to not be overcome by evil, but instead to overcome evil. Give us strength to do that. Give us anointing to do that. Give us the resources to do that. Mm. And Lord, bless us as we fight the good fight of faith against the corruption and the wickedness of this present evil age. We pray in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, it's time to roar.
Thank you for listening and being a part of the conversation. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about what we're doing, please visit us at churchofgladtidings.com. There you can donate and find ways that you can serve. Thanks for listening, and God bless.